my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I failed and brought Him much shame, it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was so lost, but I found my way back to God. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to live for Him.
Amen. Thank you for that song. Appreciate that. Thank you, Miss Sarah, for filling in playing for us today. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. We're going to be same chapter as we were this morning in 2 Chronicles and chapter number 7. If you weren't here this morning or you were sleeping, then we are for the first time in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. When you find that, would you stand to your feet? 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness every Sunday. A host of labor serving in Sunday school classes and children's ministries and nurseries and cleaning and preparing and getting things ready and practicing. Thank you, church. You're such so faithful to the Lord, and I appreciate you very much, and thank you for being here tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we'll read the first three verses tonight. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Solomon prayed, Lord, we pray that You would meet with us tonight, that Your glory would fill this room, that You'd speak to hearts, Lord, that You would do a work tonight that we need from You, Lord. Maybe not just gather tonight to spend another hour in church to check a box, just to say that we were here, but Lord, may You change our lives, draw us to be closer to You. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning I preached through 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You know the verse, I'm sure, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse here, the Lord is speaking to Solomon after Solomon had spent time speaking to the Lord. Much of chapter number 6, Solomon is spending time speaking to the Lord and praying, and we'll look at some of those verses here, so keep your Bibles open. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 1, when he made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. We could stop there tonight and just get a truth from that about how many times we want the fire from heaven to fall, a picture of the power and the presence of God, but we don't take the time to pray first. How many times we come to church and expect God to meet but haven't prayed before we came? How many times we've gone soul winning and not spent time with God in prayer? You went to go home to raise your family and care for your spouse, or to just go to work and do the duties that you have and expecting and wanting God to meet, but not doing the work for God to meet. When he made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. The Bible says, and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. In chapter number 5, it says that there was a multitude of sacrifice, more than what could be numbered. And the fire came down and consumed the sacrifices. It says that the glory of the Lord filled the house. You've been there before where you've been in a church service, but then you've been in times where God met. You know what I'm talking about? You've had times where you read God's word and you read God's word. You're being faithful, doing what you're supposed to do, but there's other times where you spent time reading your Bible or praying and God met with you. And the glory of the Lord filled that place, and you could feel the presence of God where you were. In verse number 2, it says, the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. There was so much of God's presence in the house that the priest couldn't even enter there, that presence of God and that filling of God. And then in verse number 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Church, I want to preach to you this message tonight about the revival fires. We have a revival meetings coming in a couple weeks, and kind of prefacing that is we have a couple weeks until the time we schedule revival meetings, but you can't schedule revival. You know what I mean? You can schedule times to have church and to have preaching and even extra services. You can schedule prayer meetings and times of soul winning, but you can't schedule God's presence and filling the room, that God's power upon your life that takes time to spend time with the Lord in preparation. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord filled that place. It's a picture of the Shekinah glory of the Lord. The Shekinah glory, it's a Hebrew word for the one who dwells, signifying the divine dwelling presence of God, which is often manifested either with light or with cloud or with fire. And it's a picture of God's presence and God filling a place and God's filling so powerfully that there was just the presence of God filling that room, filling that church, that place. Before anyone entered the house of God, God's presence entered there first. I don't know about you, but I come to church on occasions, not often, when there's no one here. And you come to church and you just picture where God is met and where God is moved, and people open the Word of God and preach and speak, and where souls have been saved, and it's a picture of God's presence upon this place. This morning I talked about it a bit, but the church house isn't just a building, but it's a place where God meets with us. A place that God ordained, and He gave His life for the church. He instituted the church. He gave His life for the church. He's given order for the church and positions in the church. But where God wants to meet in the house of God, may we not come to church flippantly, but may we come to the house of God wanting to meet with the presence of God. Wanting for God to speak to your heart and to meet in your life. A number of times in Scripture, the fire came down from heaven. There's maybe between 7 and 10 different times that you see in Scripture where fire came down from heaven, and where that was a picture again of God's presence and of God's power and of God's glory. You see a couple of instances with Elijah on Mount Carmel, and he prays out to God. The prophets of Baal, they prayed and they cut themselves and all that they could do, but there was no fire from heaven from their gods. But then Elijah prayed, and fire came down and consumed the sacrifice and the water and the wood and the stones all about. And it was shown clear that day who the true God of heaven was. And the God of heaven was shown, and all the false prophets were killed. And Elijah had told the people, if the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal be God, follow him. And God answered by fire. You see God's power coming with the sacrifices there. Number of different times where God consumed sacrifices with fire from heaven. Other times it's a picture of God's judgment, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he rained fire and brimstone upon those cities and completely destroyed and decimated them because of their wickedness. Other times there's Korah and raised up that rebellion against Moses, and fire came down from heaven. And different times where fire came down, and that's a picture again of God meeting with these people. A couple different passages where God meets with people by fire is Moses in the wilderness, and he comes to that bush that's burning but not consumed, and he stops to see what's happening here. I'm sure he's seen a bush on fire before but not consumed, and he came close to that place, and the Lord said to take your shoes off, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And he took his shoes off and came closer, and he spent time talking with God. In Acts chapter number 2, the Christians had met in the upper room, and they were praying for power from God, and God told them to dwell in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. And they stayed there and they prayed. And as they prayed, that rushing mighty wind came through, and the cloven tongues of fire came, and it filled the people, and they spoke in tongues and languages, and they witnessed and as thousands of souls being saved. Church tonight, I encourage and challenge you, and I pray in my life. It's not every day, and I wish it was, and it's not every week, and I wish it was, but there's been times in my life where I believe that God's presence and God's power and the fire comes down. You've been there before where you serve God empty. You've been there before where you serve God in self and in your own strength, and you go all by yourself, and what a lonely place that is, isn't it? Where you go to do the work of God without the presence of God, and God says, go on by yourself, and nothing happens. But then there's times where you spend time in prayer and you're submitted to God and right with the Lord, and you've asked for the fire to fall down from heaven. And you open God's word and preach, or you witness, or you sing, or God's just working and speaking in your life, and the fire falls and comes down in your life, and you say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your presence and your power upon my life. He made an end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven. There is a very clear link to prayer and the power of God. There is nothing that enters the throne room of God more like prayer. The access that we have, the boldness that we have, the privilege that we have of prayer, but how often is prayer neglected in the arsenal of a Christian because we're too busy to take time to pray? I want to give you a few challenges tonight about how to see the fire fall in your life, how to have these revival fires. I'm not trying to work up the fire. You ever seen someone try to kindle a fire? And maybe have you ever? How many of you ever started the fire by just rubbing the sticks together? You ever done that? Anyone foolish enough to do that, or smart enough to do that? Maybe. And there was one in here. I've never done it. I did always appreciate when Brother Smith, when the fifth graders would graduate into sixth grade, and that Sunday he would send them out with fire starters, and I think, what could go wrong with a fifth grader having a fire starter in church? I don't see anything dangerous with this. I'm like, give me that. Don't spark, spark, spark. No, we a lot of flammable things in here, okay? You can try to manufacture the fire. You remember Nadab and Abihu? And they were told to not let the fire go out in the tabernacle, and they went there and they let the fire go out. And they went and they manufactured that strange fire before the Lord. And God consumed them. He took their lives, and it was a testimony to others not to offer that strange fire, but it's only fire that comes down from heaven. You can't make it on your own. You can't manufacture the presence and the power of God and seeing souls saved and God speaking to hearts and God changing lives and God working in your life. That only comes through the Lord. want to look at a few points today about how the Lord had filled this place and fire from heaven, how God had met with them. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. We'll look at these couple of chapters here leading up to chapter number 7. Again, many times we look at the fire falling and we think, yes, Lord, I want that. But there was a lot of work that prefaced this time, that came before, that Solomon and God's people had done for God to meet with them. In 2 Chronicles 5 verse 1, it says, "Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished." Now you see the finished work of a house and you think, that's great, beautiful. You ever looked at a project that someone did and thought, I think I could do that. Right? I could do that. I could YouTube that and probably figure it out. And then you go to do it and you think, I can't do that. 7 years they were in the building of the temple. And they put together the temple and it was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. And the silver and the gold and the instruments put he among the treasuries and among the treasures of the house of God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse 1. Then said Solomon, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever." Look down at verse number 20 of this same chapter. We could look at many other verses, but we'll look here and finish with this verse here for now that says that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servants prayeth toward this place. The Bible called this house of God a dwelling place. I believe it was 5 different times. It called it a dwelling place. The house of God, a place where God could meet. He said, you said you'd meet in the darkness, but we have made for you a dwelling house and a place for you to meet there. I believe that God met with them because they made big of God's house. They made big of God's house. They spent a lot of time constructing and building the house, but not just the building of God's house, but the dedicating of God's house. Anyone, maybe not anyone, but you've seen many beautiful structures all around the country and all around the world, maybe in person or maybe in pictures, but there's something special about the house of God. Sometimes it's a little building. Sometimes it's a room in someone's house. Maybe it's a storefront. But there's something special about the house of God. The house of God, a place where Christians can come together and gather together to sing and to fellowship and to hear the Word of God preached. There's something special about the house of God. A place where the lost can come and they can find hope and they can find salvation and they can find a respite from this world. We need more of the house of God today, not less. We need the house of God. It's so much of making less of church today. Less church, you know. And I'm you know, different scenarios come, but we don't need churches to close down and to just to combine and to make less of them. We don't need more satellite churches. We need more churches with a preacher standing up, preaching the Word of God, and souls being saved, and God's name being sung about. We need more of church, not less of it. People are coming so casually to church today. We live in California, and we are as casual as it comes. We need to make big of God's house. We don't have a dress requirement for coming to church other than you have to wear clothes, all right? And there comes a time where you think, that's not enough. We need some more clothes on you. But you just come to church. But we've gotten so casual in our country today, in the world, really, to the point where I forget who it was, I don't know if it was Department of Transportation, someone, but you know, they said, when you're on an airplane, would you not come in your pajamas? Used to be a time where people came, they traveled in suits, dresses, they dressed up nice, they went to travel, and today you go through the airports and you think, did you know you were going in public today? You know, that's one thing for traveling on an airplane, but when you come to church, this is the house of God. This is God's house, and does the Bible say, thou shalt wear a suit and tie to church? It doesn't. What am I wearing a suit and tie for today? No, I'm just kidding. But that we should come to God with our best. Not casually, come to God, come to church with your Bible in your hand. Amen? There's something about carrying a Bible, good old-fashioned, leather-bound Bible. I have no more words on my page, on the cover anymore. They've all been worn off. But I love this Bible. I love carrying a Bible. We went to grab some lunch today. We had a busy week, and we went to get lunch today. There's nothing that turns heads going into a restaurant. We were going to Jersey Mike's. I love Jersey Mike's sandwiches. Went to Jersey Mike's, and you walk in there, and I'm in my shirt and tie, and the ladies in their dresses and all that, and man, heads just turn. And I think, you should have been in church today too. I'm being honest. You needed to go to church as well. And gave the gentleman a tract at the register. We need to make more of church, not less of church. The Bible says, more as you see the day approaching. Never miss a church service. Never miss a church. When the doors are open, be in your place in church. Why? You don't want to miss what God is doing in His house. You don't want to miss it. You think, whoa, I'm tired. Guess what? What do they say? The world's built on tired people, right? That's the truth. Everyone's tired, right? People going to work, you're going to go to work tomorrow tired, right? Go to church tired. Don't sleep in church, by the way, okay? Amen, all right? Look around. Anyone sleep? No. But when you come to church, be in church. Be here. Be present. I know sometimes you drag everyone in and you do what you can to get here. When you come to church, be present in church. Be here. Prepare your heart for church. Prepare your heart. You know, the only person, it shouldn't just be the preachers and the teachers preparing themselves for church. You come to church, pray, say, God, you should be praying just as much for a church service as any preacher or teacher or laborer here. Whether or not you're serving or teaching in that hour, pray that God would speak to your heart, that you come prepared for the house of God. Why? Because we want the glory of the Lord to fill this place. That God would say, they want me to meet with them tonight. Would you pray that God would come and meet with us? I covet your prayers, church. I mean it, I covet your prayers. Come to church ready to serve. Ready to serve, not just to be in your place. I'm thankful for those that come and sit in church. But don't come to sit, come to serve. Find a place to serve. It's the house of God. Say, this is my church. Make it personal. This is my church. Kids, this is your church. Parents, this is your church. Grandparents, this is your church. Come to church ready to serve and say, God, I want to do something for you today. I want to meet in your house. Make big of God's house. Parents with your kids, make church a special time. We get to go to church today. Don't leave the house grumbling and fighting and arguing and I guess we have to go and we're just going to go and get out of there. No, make big of it. Make big of church to your kids because someday they're going to choose if they're going to go to church when it's their choice and not yours. And they're going to remember how mom and dad brought them to the house of the Lord. Make big of the house of God. This is the greatest place to go in all of Redding, California, other than my home, all right? I love going to my home, but I love coming to the house of God, to Shasta Baptist Church, because this is where God meets. Make big of the house of God. That's how you see the fire fall. Make big of God's house. Number two, dedicate time in fervent prayer. Dedicate time in fervent prayer. Much of chapter 6, I want to read a few of the verses in chapter 6, verse number 12. And it says, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. And he spread forth his hands, and Solomon made a brazen scaffold, and 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits abroad, and 3 cubits high, and had it set in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and shows mercy unto thy servant, unto thy servants which walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, thy father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast filled it with thine hands as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way, to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. so many times through this passage that Solomon is praying in verse 22, if a man have sinned against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and his oath come before thine altar in this house, and he prays to him. In verse number 22, if a man sins against his neighbor, he prays that God would answer the prayers of his people. Verse 24, if thy people Israel be put to the worst before their enemies, and said, God, would you deliver us from our enemies? Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet I pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them. Verse 28, if there be dearth in the land. Verse number 32, moreover, concerning the stranger, and says, if the stranger comes to this place, there needs to be the house of God if a stranger comes to this place. And he prays all through this chapter, and God meets with Solomon, not because of a casual prayer, but because Solomon lifted up his hands before God and prayed to the Holy God of heaven. He honored the name of God and lifted him up, and he begged for God to meet with God's people. 20 years ago, 58% of Americans say that they prayed every day. 20 years later, only now 44% of Americans say that they pray every day. 15% of Americans' percentage drop over the last 20 years that say that they pray every day. 33% of Americans say they pray for each and every meal. The average Christian spends less than 10 minutes per day in prayer, but over 5 hours per day on their phone. And I believe that number is probably a lot higher for the phone and maybe even less for the time in prayer. We've made so little of prayer in our country today, and I'm talking about as Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. How little we make of prayer today and wonder why God is not meeting and working and healing and answering prayer, because we've neglected prayer in our country and in our personal lives and even in the house of God. If you want the fire to fall, you have got to dedicate time in fervent prayer. To get on your knees and spend time in prayer, as the children of Israel did, the Bible says that they saw the glory of the Lord fill the house. They bowed their faces to the ground, to the pavement, and they worshiped and praised the Lord. Christian, how much time have you spent in prayer this past week? How much time in fervent prayer, not just casually, not just saying a casual prayer to start the day, Lord, bless me and help me, and pray to God throughout the day, but dedicating time in prayer to God. The fire is not going to fall by casual Christianity and not by a casual prayer life. We must take time to pray. We must get alone with God to pray personally. I believe we should pray collectively as a church, but personally, that's where God meets with you. The Bible talks in the book of Matthew chapter 5, it is. The Bible says, and when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. To pray personally before God, and the Father which seeth secretly shall reward thee openly. Prayer is, first of all, an individual time with God between you and the Lord. But have you spent time with God individually? I would imagine each person in your family wants to spend time with you individually. That personal time, it's one thing collectively to spend time together, but when someone says, I want to spend time just with you, that's a special time between you and that family member, maybe a friend. But how much more important is it for us to get alone with the Holy God of heaven, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the God that saved your soul, that wants to spend time with you, and how many times do we neglect that time with God? Pray personally. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your country. Pray for your city. Pray for the needs of others, the needs you have for yourself. Just opening your heart to God and just spending time to God in prayer. Why did the fire fall? Because there is some dedication of time and a fervency to the prayer before the Lord. Number three, they sacrificed to the Lord. In chapter 7, verse number 1, and when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled that place. Again, it was an innumerable amount of sacrifices they made before the Lord. Something that they wanted to give, not to waste, but to give to God, to say all the things that are precious to us, we give to you, and it's yours, Lord. I believe for the fire to fall that there needs to be sacrifice. That's something that we don't know a whole lot about in our country, I would say, about sacrifice. We live in abundance, but to sacrifice time or money or talents, whatever God has asked from you, and say, God, I want to give you a meal. That fasting is sacrificing the food or another personal desire that you have to set aside that meal to say, God, I just want to spend time praying for my son, for my daughter, for my parent, for our country. I'd like to dedicate time in prayer and give up something of mine to you and to sacrifice before you. And the Bible says, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Sacrificing to God, giving something of yours back to the Lord, not just to where it's a tip to the Lord, but you sacrifice that hurts. A sacrifice where you feel it and say, God, I'm going to give this to you by faith because I know you can do more with this than what I can do with it on my own. When's the last time you truly sacrificed to God? You give extra time in prayer, extra time in your Bible, extra time in church or studying or witnessing or giving to God. And you say, God, I want you to meet and I want to sacrifice before you. I believe this dedication of the temple, it involves sacrifice. In the coming verses, in verse number 4 and 5, it says in chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Look at this. God numbers the sacrifices in verse number 5, but the ones before were too many to count. Look at this. It says, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of animals that they sacrificed. That took a whole lot of time to offer the sacrifices. 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. They sacrificed because this was the house of God, and God was worthy of their sacrifice. Is God not worthy of our sacrifice today, Christian? He gave His all to us. He's given us salvation and a home in heaven and His Word and God's will and plan for our lives. But yet, how many times God asked us from something and we say, God, that's too much. I'm busy. Now, everyone has a busy life of things you have going on. I'm not making light of that. But when have you given up something of yours to God because you want to get a hold of the power and the presence of God in your life? Sacrifice to the Lord. Are you willing to sacrifice to God? I think of Hannah, this woman that she desired a son, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And God finally gave her a son. And Eli the priest has said, I'll pray for you that God will give you a son. And then he said, this time next year, God will give you a son. And God called his name Samuel. And God gave her Samuel. And what did Hannah do? She took that son and took him home until he was weaned. And then she brought him back to the house of God. And she lent him back to the Lord. God gave her more children after that, but that son of promise and that son of desire in her life, she took that child and gave her back to the church. Just so you know, don't bring your children to the church and have them live here, okay? That's not the point. That's not the point of this right here. But she gave something special of hers back to the Lord. How many times do we take the things that are precious to us and we just hold on to them instead of saying, God, you're the one, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This was God's to begin with, and it is God's till the end, and I'm going to give it back to you, God, because God wanted to do something special with Samuel's life. I think of Ornan, the man where the angel was on his threshing floor, and the angel came there, and he stopped at that place, and David wanted to offer the sacrifices there, and Ornan said, I give it all. I give it all. Didn't want anything for it. This widow that gave her two mites, she gave all that she had. Everything she had, she gave back to God. I believe if you want to see the fire fall in your life, that you have to sacrifice to God. Sacrifice extra time in prayer and scripture and time in church and witnessing and sacrificing, giving something extra to God. And then lastly tonight, if you want to see the fire fall, the Bible said they sing praises to the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His children. In 2 Chronicles 5, verse number 11, it says, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and of Heman He-Man's in the Bible. See that? Young people don't even know about that, all right? And Jeduthun and their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. They sing praises to God. God inhabits the praises and the music and the singing of his children. There's something special about singing out to the Lord, isn't there? You sing "Amazing Grace," "Holy, holy, holy, how great thou art." And you start thinking about how good God is. And God seems to meet in the times where you sing and you praise God for his goodness. I'm not against songs about man and how God works in people's lives, but there's something special about the songs of singing about God, about his holiness and his goodness and his blessings and his mercy and his grace. And the glory of the Lord filled that place so they couldn't even enter again the house of the Lord. Singing praises to God. Holiness. We need to get back to a place of holiness. Singing and getting close. You get closer to God in the presence of God. That's a place of holiness before the Lord. We'll have revival meetings coming up. But will you prepare for God to have revival in your life? Do we really want revival? Do you really want revival? It starts personally. You think, "I want revival in my city," and man, what? How great would that be to see revival spread all throughout out Reading, and God do a work, and souls being saved, and the house of God filled? That'd be great. But revival always starts with one person. It always starts with one person. And it starts in the heart, individually. You can pray for revival, but many times we pray for revival in another place. But revival starts right here. Would there be one that would say, "I truly want to see revival"? What if we took the next couple weeks and spent extra time in Bible and prayer every day? Don't miss a day in Bible and prayer. Set your clock, set your alarm, turn everything off and get alone with God and say, "God, I want to meet with you, and I know that you want to meet with me. I want to spend extra time with you, Lord." And truly praying for revival. If you want to see revival every day in Bible and prayer, every service in the house of God, don't miss time in church. Be present in church and come ready for God to speak to your heart. And then thirdly, every sin confessed and repented. If you want to get right with God, you get close to God, God's going to reveal things in your life that need to get out or that need to get in. And you get close to God, and God starts revealing things, and God starts working and talks about some thoughts or some feelings or some direction in your life or some sin or some things you have in your house or your car or on your phone that need to get out, and you confess and repent and get them out of your life, and God starts doing revival. God starts bringing back to life and drawing closer to Him. You want to see the fire fall. I believe if I asked for a raise of hands today and said, "How many of you want to see the fire fall and for God to work and to meet in your life?" I think there'd be many hands raised in the room. But how many are willing to do the work to see God's fire fall in your life? Maybe it's a soul that needs to be saved. You have a family member that's lost. Does that break your heart? Do you spend time praying for that? Have you kind of lost the fire? You have a loved one that's walked away from God. Are you still praying for them? Do you want to see revival? Maybe your heart has gotten cold and away from the Lord. Do you want to see revival? Maybe God's used to work in your life but hasn't anymore because you've kind of stepped back or stepped away. Maybe things have changed in your life, but maybe you're serving God, but God's not really meeting with you. You're kind of just going through the motions. Do you want to see the fire fall? Do you want to see God meet? With head bowed and eyes closed, we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you meet with us tonight? May we spend time in quiet even right now saying, God, I need you. Not even, Lord, that I want you, but I need you. Is there a closeness to God in your life, or have you become distant from the Lord? Maybe it's a matter of salvation. You don't even know that you're saved, and you've been battling with it and struggling with it, and you know you're not saved, but maybe you need to get settled tonight. Maybe you've just gone cold to the things of God, and you've kind of walked away from the Lord, and maybe just put some things on cruise control in your spiritual life, and it's time to kick some things in gear and get closer to God. Maybe your soul winning is non-existent, and you've not been telling souls about Christ. Wherever it may be, let's not go through the motions and just go to do a checkbox of all the things we have to do, but may you get alone with God, especially in this matter of prayer. May I get alone with God in prayer. So God, I want you to meet. I want you to do something special.